time of the service now that we look into the Word of God. And so I'd encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8. You'll find that on page 337 in your pew Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 54 through 63. This is Solomon's prayer of dedication when the temple was built in Jerusalem. And we're going to look at this prayer and see what principles from this prayer apply to us today. We're not dedicating a temple today, but we are dedicating a sanctuary to God and His glory. So please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, 1 Kings chapter 8, 54 through 63. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. And he stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. And may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. And may he turn our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time." And then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of fellowship offerings to the Lord, 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the Israelites dedicated the temple of the Lord. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear Father, speak to us now through this word. Take these words, inspired and recorded for us by your Holy Spirit. Take these words and apply them to our hearts and our situation today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with the various points of the message today. But we're talking about dedication. And what does it mean to dedicate something to the Lord? What does it mean to dedicate a building or a child or a home or a business to the Lord? And before we try and answer that question this morning, it is helpful to get a little background on what's happening in the passage that we're looking at this morning and a little background on this temple that Solomon was dedicating. You know, it took 7 years for King Solomon to actually build this temple that they were dedicating now in chapter 8. And then if you go back even further than that, his father David had spent many years prior to that making preparations and gathering supplies. And so this is what we would call a long-term project. And skilled workers were employed. Only the best materials were used. This was to be a beautiful temple built for God and his glory. And when all of the work for the temple was finished, the last step was they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. And they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, they put it in the inner sanctuary of the temple, what was known as the most holy place. And they put it there beneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priests withdrew from the holy place where they put the Ark, we learned that the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and all of the people worshiped God. And it was then that Solomon prayed two prayers of dedication. The first prayer was a longer prayer. It's recorded for us also in 1 Kings chapter 8, but in verses 22 through 53. It is a beautiful prayer which relates more specifically to the temple itself and to the unique place of the temple at this time and in the history of Israel and in the history of all of the world. A very focused prayer in the temple. But then Solomon goes on to pray the second prayer of dedication, which we've just read in verses 54 through 63. And this is a more general prayer of dedication. It is well suited to the dedication of any home, any building, or business to the Lord. And there are four parts to this prayer, and all four are very easily applicable to the dedication of our sanctuary to God and His glory today. So we're going to look at those four parts together now. So Solomon begins this prayer with thanksgiving and praise for what God has done. Thanksgiving and praise for what God has done. Look with me now at verses 54 through 56. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. And he stood and he blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he had promised. And not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses." You know, it would have been very easy at this time for Solomon and the people to take the credit for the work that had just been accomplished. Because after all, didn't they do the work? Didn't they make the plans? Didn't they gather the materials? Didn't they oversee the building of the temple? Wasn't it the donations of the people that made the building of the temple possible? Well, yes, those things are all true. And Solomon and the people, they all played their parts in making the temple come together. But Solomon, in his wisdom, remember, Solomon's known for his wisdom, right? Solomon, in his wisdom, recognizes that it was only possible because of the Lord. It was the Lord who had given them rest from their enemies on every side so that they could focus on the building of the temple at this specific time. It was the Lord who had provided all that they needed to complete the project. It was the Lord who had fulfilled all of the good promises that he had given through his servant Moses. And so what does Solomon do? He begins this prayer with thanksgiving and praise for all that God had done. And this is instructive to us because it's a reminder to us that whenever you accomplish something, whatever you accomplish in life, you are still to give God the glory for what he has done. God is the one who has given you the talents, the time, the opportunity, and the strength to do whatever it is that you have done. And so your first thought should always be thanksgiving and praise to God for what he has done. You know, this church began back in 1948. It predates the city of Plantation. It's been here longer than our city. A small group of people, about 28 people, gathered together, and they had a vision for a church in this newly developing community. They said, "Someday there's going to be a town here, and we want there to be a church here waiting for it." And so they began a church. They began worshiping down the road out by where the Dyke Community Center is in a little cinder block building. They began worshiping there, and then God blessed them with this plot of land here, and they raised the money to build our first sanctuary, which is the A-frame building over there. You know what? They were just a small group of people. They didn't need a sanctuary that large, but they built a larger sanctuary than what they needed. Why? Because they trusted that God would help them grow. And boy, did God ever help them grow. And a strong church was planted here in Plantation, a church which now continues to faithfully preach God's word, a church that has given millions of dollars to missions around the world. And by 1994, we had outgrown our older sanctuary. We began plans for the newer sanctuary. And 8 years ago, this sanctuary was completed, and we began worshiping here. And you might be wondering, well, why did you never dedicate this building to the Lord? We had a consecration service, but we never had a dedication service because we did not actually own the building yet. We had a mortgage. That mortgage was supposed to be paid off 12 years from now, but by God's grace and the generous giving of God's people, that was paid off last year right before Thanksgiving. Now, was that a major accomplishment? Yes! Does that mean we take the credit for it? No! That's right. God is the one who made that possible. And so we give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You see, that's what the first part of Solomon's prayer teaches us here. We begin with thanksgiving and praise to God for the wonderful things that he has done. And then the second part of Solomon's prayer is a prayer for God's continued presence and direction. Look with me now at verses 57 and 58. "May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May He turn our hearts to Him, to walk in all His ways and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations He gave our fathers. So here Solomon acknowledges God's work for their fathers in the past, and he seeks God's continued presence and direction for His people in the present. I can't think of two more important requests for us as a church. Two requests to make to God as a church as we seek to fulfill God's purposes here in this community. First of all, we ask for God's presence to be among us. See, when we gather to worship, this is what we seek first and foremost. We gather to worship God in the beauty and the glory of His presence. We come to be with Him and to glorify Him. We ask Him to be with us as He was with our fathers. And we ask that He would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus promised His disciples, and our children read this at the beginning of their beautiful song this morning, "For where two or three come together in My name," Jesus said, "there I am with them." And so when we gather here each and every Sunday morning to worship God in Jesus' name, we can be assured that Christ is with us, that the risen and ascended and glorified Jesus Christ is present with us. And He brings us into God's glorious presence as we lift up the name of Jesus and as we worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a wonderful prayer to pray. God, be with us as You were with our fathers. And then we not only pray for God's continued presence, but we also pray for His continued direction. Because that's what Solomon also prayed here. He said, "May He turn our hearts to Him, to walk in all His ways." Notice that this is primarily a prayer for God to turn you. See, if you're going in one direction, and God wants you to go in a different direction, how are you going to get there? Well, you're only going to get there if God turns you, right? And so this is a prayer for God to turn us around. And we're saying, God, turn us in Your direction. Guide us, direct us in Your ways. Turn our hearts so that we may walk in Your ways and follow Your commands. So that's the second part of Solomon's prayer, a prayer for God's continued presence and direction. God, be with us. Never leave us. Never forsake us. Turn us. Turn our hearts in the direction that You would have us to go. And then thirdly, Solomon prays for God's name to be known among the nations. Look at verses 59 and 60. Solomon prays, "And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, may they be near to the Lord our God day and night, that He may uphold the cause of His servant and the cause of His people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other." And so Solomon prays here for God's daily provision and sustenance. He says, "God, will You please meet our daily needs? Will You provide for us?" But he does so for a very specific purpose. He asks God to provide for each day's need. Why? So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And so Solomon's prayer has a global focus. He prays for God to meet the daily needs of his people, not for their own sake, but so that God's name may be spread far and wide among the nations. This is such an important part of this prayer for us this morning because it reminds us that as a church, as Plantation Community Church, we do not exist for ourselves, but rather for God's glory and for the spreading of God's name throughout our community and throughout the nations. And so this prayer helps to prevent us from turning inwards and from making all of our decisions based on what we think is best for us. So although we gather as a church to worship Christ, we must always be thinking of those outside the church who still need Christ. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So yes, we pray for our needs as a church. We did that this morning. And we ask God to meet those daily needs, but we must always remember why we exist as a church. We have a purpose statement out as a church. We have it posted out in the lobby area. And the very first part of our purpose statement says this: the purpose of the Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. How do we make disciples? We make disciples by winning people to Jesus Christ and then helping them to grow in Him. And so we must always keep this outward focus as a church. Because a church that loses its outward focus is a church that has lost its way. I'm so glad that our church has such a strong commitment to missions and to the spread of the gospel to all nations. I'm so glad that we are committed to missions right here at home, here in Broward County and beyond, as we like to say. 26% of all the money that comes in here on a Sunday morning in our offerings, 26% goes right back out to missions. And so I'm glad of those commitments, but I think we also need to do a better job as a church in personal evangelism. So let me just ask you a couple questions. How many people have you told about Jesus lately? When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When was the last time you just simply invited someone to come to church with you? There are so many people who would love to come to church with you if you only asked them. They do surveys over and over again asking people, would you go to church if someone asked you? The majority of people say, sure. If a friend asked me to go to church with them, I'd go. All we need to do is ask. So yes, we want the gospel to go to all the nations, but we also want the gospel to go to our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers and our family members. And that's the outward focus that God wants us to maintain as the church of Jesus Christ. And we find that all here in the third part of Solomon's prayer, here in 1 Kings 8, a prayer for God's name to be known among all the nations. And then the fourth and final part of Solomon's prayer is a prayer for God's people to remain fully committed to Him. Look at verse 61. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by His decrees and obey His commands as at this time. And folks, this is really the heart and soul of any dedication ceremony. Once again, whether it's for a building or a home or a child dedication or a marriage, a prayer that God's people would remain fully committed to Him at all times. Because really, what good does it do to commit a temple or a sanctuary or anything else to the Lord if you are not personally committed to the Lord yourself? What meaning does that hold? Now, I sometimes run into this with baby dedications. A couple might come to me and say, will you dedicate our child to the Lord? And yet they're not living for the Lord themselves. They don't attend church. They don't spend regular time with God in the Bible or in prayer. They don't seek God's will in their decisions. They say, will you dedicate my baby to the Lord? And so I ask them, I go, well, let's talk about this. And, you know, I'm going to have you stand up in front of the church, and you're going to tell the church that you're dedicating your child to the Lord and yourselves to following God and raising your child in the Lord and to know Jesus. But how can you do that if you're not doing it, right? You know, it's a wonderful thing to want to dedicate your child to the Lord, but God wants you to dedicate yourself to Him first, because otherwise the child dedication has no meaning. It's as we just read in verse 61, your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord. And this applies to all dedications. Sometimes people want their pastor to come and pray a prayer of dedication over their new home or over their place of business. I've been privileged to do that a number of times, and I'm always happy to do that. But once again, that prayer of dedication, it only has meaning if you yourself are personally committed to the Lord. And really, when you think about it, how dreadful to pray a prayer of dedication over your house if you're not going to live a godly life for Jesus Christ in that house. How dreadful to pray a prayer of dedication for your new business if you're not going to run that business according to godly principles. You see what Solomon's getting at here in this dedication? Well, let's talk about marriage for a moment. Sometimes a couple comes and asks me to marry them in the church. And I always ask them, why is it that you want to be married in a church by a pastor rather than by a judge at the courthouse? And I'm wanting them to get married in the church, but I want to know why. And we talk about it, and they'll usually respond because they want God's blessing on their marriage. And that's a wonderful response. And I go, that's exactly it. That's why we do this. Now, I would affirm anyone who is seeking God's blessing on their marriage. But then as we start talking further and we get to know each other a little better, oftentimes I'll learn, especially in our day and time and culture, that they're living together before marriage. And I get confused. And I ask them, I said, why do you want God's blessing on your marriage, but you don't want God's blessing on your present relationship right now? You see, it's not consistent. Living together before marriage is directly disobedient to God's command. And God is not going to bless disobedience. So how can we dedicate something to God's glory? How do I dedicate my marriage to God's glory if I'm not seeking to glorify Him with my life now? You go, Pastor, all of a sudden this sermon turned real hard. This is a tough message. Well, yeah, because Solomon's prayer turned real hard, didn't it? Here they are about to dedicate this beautiful temple to the Lord. And Solomon says, but may your hearts be fully committed to God. Because I don't know if you know the rest of the history. But when God's people turned away from the Lord later in history, what happened? God took the temple away. And the Babylonians came and they ransacked the temple and they burned things to the ground. They took all those beautiful items and elements out of it, and the people had taken confidence in the temple. Nothing will happen to us because we have the temple. God says, no, your heart must be fully committed to the Lord, or the dedication means nothing. And so this fourth part of Solomon's prayer is so important when it comes to dedicating anything to God and His glory. We can only truly dedicate things to God when we have first dedicated ourselves to God. And so that's the fourth part of Solomon's prayer, a prayer that God's people would remain fully committed to Him. You know, this fourfold prayer is a wonderful model to us as we dedicate anything to the Lord, whether a child, a marriage, a business, a church, or a home. We should always begin with thanksgiving and praise for what God has done. We give God the glory. God is the one who's provided all that we have, all that we need. And then secondly, we should pray for God's continued presence and direction. Lord, we need your presence. We need your direction. Turn our hearts in the way that you would have us to go. Number three, we should look beyond ourselves and pray for God's name to be known among the nations and among our neighborhoods, among our schools and places of work. And then fourthly, we should pray that God's people would remain fully committed to Him, because we cannot dedicate things to God if we have not dedicated ourselves to God first. And then finally, we read in verses 62 and 63, then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of fellowship offerings to the Lord, 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the Israelites dedicated the temple of the Lord. And so here we are, just as Israel, after all of those years of preparation and giving and building, the temple was complete and Solomon prayed this prayer of dedication. They officially dedicated the temple to the Lord. And that's where we are today. The work in this sanctuary is long completed. By God's grace, it has now been paid off in full as God has worked through His people to finish the work that we started so long ago. And now we are finally in the position to dedicate this sanctuary to God and His glory. Will you join me in prayer as we prepare to move into the dedication part of our service? Father in heaven, we give you great glory and honor and praise this morning. We thank you for the wonderful things that you have done. We pray for your continued presence and direction for us as a church. Never leave us, never forsake us. And Lord, if we are ever going in the wrong direction, turn our hearts to follow you. We pray, God, for your name to be known among the nations, that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted high in our lives and would be often on our lips, and that we would have that great, glorious privilege of sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and that he offers forgiveness of sins to all who will believe on his name. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us as a people fully committed to you. But Lord, as we dedicate this house to you this morning, we are really dedicating ourselves, dedicating ourselves to use this building for you and for your glory. Lord, take my life. Let it be pleasing to you. Take our lives. Let them bring glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, praise team. What a beautiful song as we dedicate ourselves to the Lord first. And now we prepare to dedicate the sanctuary to him. If you'll take your bulletins at this time, the actual act of dedication is printed out there for you. There's a place for the pastor to speak and for everyone to speak, and then a time for the congregation to speak. So let us now dedicate the sanctuary to God in his glory. Having been prospered by the good hand of our God and enabled by his grace and power to complete this house of worship, to be used for the glory of his name, we will now in his holy presence dedicate this sanctuary to him. We dedicate this sanctuary to be a place of worship. We dedicate this sanctuary to be a house of prayer. We dedicate this sanctuary to be a place where God's word is honored and proclaimed. We dedicate this sanctuary to be a light in this community, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to all who will hear. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons and one God,
to you we dedicate this house.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father which art in heaven,
to you we dedicate this house.
Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, head of the body which is the church, head over all things to the church, prophet, priest, and king, whose glorious appearing shall be to all people,
to you we dedicate this house.
Holy Spirit, our comforter, counselor,